So today I want to continue with the resurrection. This is something, this teaching here, and it is more of a teaching than preaching, I guess. There'll be some preaching involved as well. But this teaching was instrumental, absolutely instrumental in my life as far as seeing God in just a different way, seeing the goodness of God, seeing that God isn't letting anybody just fall away, right? He's giving people opportunity, because as a kid, as an adult, you know, we celebrate his death, we celebrate his resurrection, but something that was always on my heart was, well, what about all those people before? Maybe that's just me, but I thought about that a lot. Like, what about all the Gentiles that came before the cross, right? You know, the Jews, God's chosen people, they had their covenant with God, their promises, they still messed it up, but any one of us probably would have done the same. So I'm not here to bag on the Jews, but it just always made me think of, what about the rest that didn't get to choose Jesus, right? Didn't get to be a part of this new covenant. And so that's what I'm going to dive into today. And my prayer is that you see my heart. My prayer is that you get this revelation of the goodness of God, that he didn't have generations of people that were just forgotten, that he's thought it through, right? Because all throughout scripture, we see, man, God desires all. Now, I'm not blind to the fact that all won't receive. Some people just choose darkness. I don't know why. It's sad. But there are just those that are going to choose darkness over light. But as we go through this, we'll just see what happens. I'm really excited about it, but I hope it comes across to you guys in the right way. Because there are some things in here that, well, here's the thing. You can take any topic and someone might disagree with you on it. So there could be some disagreements here. I know there's people who disagree with my interpretation of this, but I want you to see my heart through this. Because I don't care what it is. The resurrection, his death, grace, yada, 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 yada. There's always going to be somebody who disagrees. But I'm praying that as we go through these scriptures, a light bulb goes on and that there is some real revelation here. So if you want to turn to Romans, we're going to be, like usual, a lot of scripture today. I don't expect you to remember it, but I want you to know it's there. All right, I want you to know what's in the Word. I want us to be digging in the Word. But Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, for it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I don't believe that was just talking about now. We know from the very beginning, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus, Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. That word propitiation is just, it's satisfied. It satisfied the debt. It satisfied what was necessary to wipe that slate clean for us. It satisfied. To be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. As I went through this, And like I said, I've thought on this topic for a very long time, because I would say, God, how are you just? How could you be considered just if all these generations before didn't have a path to you, right? Didn't have Christ, didn't have salvation. How do you call yourself a just God? And I did it out of ignorance, right? I did it out of ignorance. I did it not understanding the word. I did it out of hurt. I did it out of a lot of things. But through time and through seeking God, I believe he's revealed these things through others. But God is just, right? Even when I don't understand, God is just. Same thing with love. God is love. Even if I don't quite understand it, God is love. So when we hit things and when we hit topics in the Bible, when we hit these things that we don't quite understand, don't just brush it off. Don't come up with, we can't come up with our own doctrine. We can't come up with, well, I don't quite understand it. I'll just understand it and believe it in the way I think and see what happens. Like, that's the wrong attitude. We're to go into the word seeking him, right? We're to go into the word armed with the Holy Spirit and being saying, lead us, guide us, right? You are our teacher, teach us, right? So I fell short in that area. But it says, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Because what did it say before that? Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It also says in Acts 17:30, you don't have to turn there, but you can write it down if you want. Acts 17:30, it said, in the days of past, in the days of ignorance, God overlooked. Look it up, it's there. God overlooked those sins of the past. God had tolerance. That's what that, God had tolerance on those things of the past because there was something coming. There was something coming. He had a plan for these people as well, and it's the same plan that he has for us. It's the same plan that he has for everyone who's born from here on out. It's Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that point. We'll get to that part. But God is a just God. And so that's what I had to settle in my heart. Even if I don't understand the past, even if I don't understand that topic, I need to believe that God is just. Because when I believe that God is just, it doesn't close my heart. It opens me up to receive. Right? If I start walking down this road of God, you're not just. Because look at what happened to these people. Out of ignorance, not knowing what I'm talking about, but then I instantly close myself off. I instantly start hardening myself. We have to stay open to the word, whether we understand it or not. But if we don't understand it, let's seek, right? Let's dive in, let's dig in. Because we've all sinned from the very beginning to the very end. We've all sinned, but let's move on. Because I believe Christ's redemption, Christ's blood paid for everything. Yes. Past, present, future. Right? I don't believe it just paid for that moment on. His blood, what he did, covered everything. From Adam and Eve all the way until the end. That's my heart behind this, and that's what I believe. Go ahead and turn to John. John chapter 5. We're going to start in 24. So I'm just trying to establish some groundwork here about God's heart. Because for me, and what how God deals with me and what God shows me is his goodness. His goodness, his love. That's my revelation. I don't have it all, but God has showed me some things about his goodness. God has showed me some things about his love, and it's his goodness and love that it's gotten me to this point. And I haven't been shy about sharing that And I won't ever be shy about sharing that. It's God, right? It's God. And we have to see God for who he is. We have to let God reveal to us who he is. And then when God reveals to us who he is, we have to see ourselves as how God sees us. And that's where we get in trouble. Because I couldn't possibly see myself the way God saw me. Because I know who I was. I know where I fell short. I know the thoughts that were going through my head. But that wasn't me. I didn't have a revelation that I was redeemed. I was set free. I was brought from darkness into light, right? I was given the Holy Spirit to walk this life out in power and authority. I just didn't grasp it. And so I lived in that dead old self. I lived, even though my spirit was renewed, I wasn't feeding it anything. It was just flesh, 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 flesh. All right, if you're there, John 5, we're going to start in 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Verse 25, it says, "Truly, truly." And when Jesus says, "Truly, truly," he says, pay attention. It's like, listen up, guys, listen up. I mean, we should always pay attention, but this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here." So he's declaring something. Something is here, right? The hour is coming and it is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. Now, this is where you can get into some arguments. Well, we're all dead, right? In a sense, but I can still be dead and live a life. It may not be the life that God had for me. I may be dead on the inside, but I'm still living this life. I'm still walking this out. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life, so pay attention to the words here. He says, the dead will hear. Those in the tomb will hear. Right? Because what is this? What is salvation? It's that spirit relationship. It's the Holy Spirit coming upon us and saying, there's something better. There's something more. Choose Christ. Choose God. The Holy Spirit was poured out on everybody. Now, not everybody walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, but I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to everyone. There's something more. There's something more. There's something more. Seek. Come after me. Come after me. And I believe that's how every one of us received Christ, was this yearning on the inside that there was something different. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. What brings us, like if we use us as an example, what brings us from death to life? Hearing and responding. Right? Hearing the Holy Spirit saying, it's time. It's time. Choose him. Choose him. And then knowing scripture, What does the scripture say? It says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. It's the Spirit, right? God is Spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So once again, this may not be making sense at the moment, but it will. Hang with me. Hang with me. So those who hear, keep that in mind for these next couple verses. So go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verses 8, we'll start at 18. So I'm trying to establish the goodness of God. I'm trying to establish the fact that there wasn't thousands of years of people who were just cast off, who were just left behind, who were just, well, that was your lot, was to rot in hell. I don't believe that for one second, because I can't have the revelation of how much God loves me. I can't have the revelation of how good he is and think that all these people in the past were just destined to rot. I can't bring myself. My spirit won't let me go there, because God is a good God. God is a just God. God loves, right? So, 1 Peter 3. We'll start in 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So he died, right? On the cross, he died a physical death. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Right? You don't take on the sins of the world and not die. Right? So he died. He died a physical death. But then, he was made alive in the spirit. When it happened in that time frame, I don't know. But he's alive. That's why we serve him, right? Because he's alive. He didn't die and stay in the tomb. He died, and 3 days later, he rose again. But I believe there was some business happening in those 3 days. He wasn't just laying in hell, suffering in hell, because he was alive. He paid the debt. He wiped it clean. He was there for a reason, right? He took the keys of hell and the grave. He conquered sin and death, correct? He was there for a reason. We'll stay in 18, start in 18 again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. So I'm going to read it again. In which he went and proclaimed as a spirit, went and proclaimed to these spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. Gets me excited. There was a reason. But what did he proclaim? Right? What did he proclaim? What was said in this moment? He died. He goes to hell. He's there. Things are happening. But he's proclaiming something. And what is he proclaiming? Go over one chapter. First Peter 4, verse 6. 1 Peter 4, verse 6, it says, "For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does." I think it's awesome. They were judged, yes. They were judged in their past life. They were judged because the wages of sin are death, right? And that's what these people knew was sin. So they were judged in the flesh. They died. But for this is why the gospel was preached, even those who are dead. The importance of the gospel can't be overstated. The importance of what Jesus Christ did cannot be overstated. It cannot. Because it was for everyone. I truly believe this, and you can call me a quack and say I'm missing it, but a just, loving God makes a way. A just, loving God makes a way. And he preached the gospel. What's the gospel? We've been going through the gospel, correct? The gospel simply is the good news, right? It's repentance, it's redemption, it's salvation, it's mercy, it's grace. This is like the most amazing grace message there is. That even in death, God was thinking about people. God was thinking about ways that, no, they can't, there has to be an option. I'm a just God. I'm a good God. And he knew. But he preached the gospel. And it changed this revelation for me changed my life. Because it wasn't. It was me walking in ignorance and saying, God doesn't care. How many thousands and millions of people were sacrificed before Christ came? This was my thought process. Before Christ came, and what? For what? Kind of a sick thing to do. I mean, this is where my heart went. This is where my heart was. I just never knew. I never had any idea that the word might have helped me out. Right? When we get in these stages of life, when we get into these circumstances of life, the word is living. It is alive. It is active. It answers the questions that we have. But if I'm going, if I'm hardening myself and I'm just saying, that's not for me, there's nothing there, I've closed off the power. I've closed off the revelation. I've closed off what God can use, what the Holy Spirit can use. Like I walked so much of my life out in ignorance. But I don't believe that's what this life should be. I don't believe that's what this life has to be. Because we were given everything. We were given salvation. Earlier in Romans, it says grace is a gift. But I don't have to receive that gift. Salvation is a gift. But I don't have to receive that gift. I can push it away. I can reject the things of God. It's not wisdom, right? But that's why it's so important for each and every one of us on an individual level, right? To let God work in us. to seek that relationship with him. Because it's in that relationship with him where revelation comes, right? I truly hope this is making sense, and if you got questions, talking to me afterwards. But, like I said earlier, he conquered sin and death, right? These people were held by death. Their spirits were held by death. And without Christ, we would be held by death. But he overcame. He conquered sin and death. Death no longer has a hold on us. And it goes for everyone. Now, we talked about it earlier. Some of those will just choose darkness. There are people that are just going to choose darkness. And I believe even in this circumstance, being presented with Jesus Christ, him preaching the gospel, there are people who rejected him, because there are going to be people who reject him until the very end. But it's about that word. It's about hearing, right? If nothing's ever spoken, how can we hear? Right? If I can't hear anything, how am I supposed to grow? If I can't hear anything, how do I know what my options are? Right? God presented something different. God will continually present something different. The gospel is different because it's life. Everything else a part of this world is death. Outside of Christ, outside of Jesus Christ, is death. I don't care how you wrap it up. I don't care how tasty it looks. Outside of Jesus Christ is death. And so to know that he went to the extent that he did to pull people from death, to pull people into life, to pull, because we're living eternal life one way or the other. Our spirits live on. Our spirits live on. Man, like the power that we have from the gospel just to change people's lives is extraordinary. And that's why we've been preaching, that's why I've been preaching on the gospel for as long as I have, because it's time, it truly is time to share the good news of the gospel. Right? We come here Sundays, we get together, we grow, we encourage each other, and then what? I'm talking to myself too, I always am. What are those other 6 days? What are those other 6 days? And this is not condemnation. But we have something that changes people's lives. What we have changed our lives, right? What we have pulls people out of darkness and into light. There's nothing more. There's nothing else worth living for than Jesus Christ. Why do you think depression is just suicide, anxiety, stress, all these things in the world right now? The confusion that's going on with gender identity and all these things. What does the word say about it? Why can't we share the word with them? Why can't we say, you know what, there's something different. There's someone who can help. Right? I can help with your confusion. He made them male and female. That's an easy one. Now, it's not up to me. It's up to us to be used, to be led. It's not up to me to change people's minds. It's not up to me to change people's hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Just remember, we're not here to be the Holy Spirit. We're here to be vessels. But I can speak to depression. I walked it out for most of my adult life. I didn't have to. But thank God through the word, and thank God for what Jesus has done with me, what the Holy Spirit has done with me in relationship with them, like, I'm changed. And I bet there's plenty of other people here that struggled with stuff that are now changed because of the goodness of God, because of what he did, because of his sacrifice on the cross. Thank God he's alive because we have what we have. If he didn't rise again, this would all be for nothing. That's what makes us different. Our God is alive. I'm not serving some dead guy with some good ideas. I serve a God who's alive. I serve a God who put his spirit inside of me that searches the depths of God. What more do you need? What more do we need? We have the same power residing in us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. What more do we need? We were given a commission. That's why in this circumstance, like with this second chance per se, that these, you know, post-cross, post-resurrection individuals got, that's not the covenant we live in. It's amazing. It gives me hope, right? It shows me the goodness and love of God. It shows me the grace of God that he was willing to sacrifice himself even for the dead. And I believe it. I believe it. But what did he tell us to do? What did he tell us to do? What was the command? Go into all the world and preach. Amen. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Right? What did he tell us to do? Because his spirit's been poured out. He's paid the debt. Ignorance is not an excuse anymore. We have the truth. We have the way. We have the life. We have what it takes to help. We have what it takes. Each and every one of us has what it takes to pull people out of hell. It's not just pastors, it's not just evangelists, prophets, teachers, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has what it takes. Each and every one of us serves this God. And that's why I love, and that's why this changed me so much, and that's why just the love of God is just, it just resounds in me. Because it's not his will that any perish. That is not his will. And he went so far as to preach the gospel to those who were dead. Unbelievable. Just to try and drive the point home a little more, go over to Ephesians. I think we'll wrap up here pretty quick, but I make no guarantees. Ephesians 4, we're going to read 8 and 10, but I kind of want to read it in reverse order because it makes a little more sense to me anyways. So verse 10, Ephesians 4, verse 10. He who descended, Jesus, is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 9. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? Verse 4. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. Something happened. Because he didn't go down with all those captives. But he left. And I don't exactly know what a host, how many a host refers to, but I bet you it was a lot. That's why, and it resonates with me even more now when people say, you're going to be really surprised who you see in heaven. Because it's not our goodness. It's not what I've done. It's all about the blood of Jesus. It's all about what he did on the cross. It's all about him wiping away the debt. It's all about him rising again. He's alive forevermore. And it's beautiful. Like, I'll get soft about it. It's beautiful what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's beautiful for what Jesus Christ did for those in the past, the present, the future. And we don't have to walk outside of it. We don't have to walk outside of his promises. We don't have to walk outside of the new covenant. We can walk in this love. We can take hope from this, right? I mean, we can take hope from this, that you know what? He went to every extent to make sure that people had an opportunity to hear him. Now, there are those that heard him, and there are those that heard him, right? I heard a lot of the Bible growing up, but I didn't hear it in my spirit. Right? There's a difference. You can hear things 1,000 times and still not get the revelation out of it, still not get the heart of God out of it. That's why I think, you know, in the end times, it says that when Christ makes his final return, people are going to call for rocks to fall on them because they can't take the sight of it. They're so bitter. They're so angry. They hate God that much. But we know how much God loves us. Even those people, God loves. God loves every person in this area. God loves every small town. His heart is that they all come to him, right? And each and every one of us possess what it takes. That gets me fired up. We possess what it takes to make an impact in this area. You possess what it takes to make an impact in your town, in your neighborhood, in your house, in your family, in the world. Whatever God's called you to do, he has equipped us. He has given us the power. And I just believe it's time to go. It's time to impact this area. It's time to help the drug addicts, the alcoholics. It's time to help those that are depressed. It's time to help those that don't feel loved. It's time to help those that have felt nothing but hurt their entire lives. And the great thing is, we have what it takes. We have what it takes. But do I believe it? That's, you know, that's always what it comes down to. The word can say, the word says a lot of amazing things. But do I believe that that's the God I serve? And I would just encourage us, every one of us, to just meditate. Meditate on the goodness of God. Meditate on his love for us. Let that relationship grow. Let the word speak to you, you know? And if you need to get help, get help. If my teaching isn't doing it for you, find somebody else that is. I listen to a lot of people. But I just want to encourage us that we serve a God who cares for each and every one of us. We serve a God who desires his creation to have relationship with him. And like I said, we're not supposed to model ourselves after that, right? We're not supposed to model ourselves to those pre-cross Gentiles and whoever else. That's not our model, but we can take hope from it. We can see the goodness of God in it. We can see that he cares, right? And we can take all those things, store it up, and give it away to somebody else, right? The power of the resurrection, it didn't just make a difference on a surface level, on the level of the flesh. It was a spiritual awakening. And I just praise God for it. And I praise God that he desires each and every one of us to walk this life out with him, to walk this life out in knowledge of him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to walk in his goodness. He wants us to walk in his blessing. He just desires us. I encourage you this week to just go through the week just meditating on God. You desire me. You love me. You paid the price for me, because it changes things. We have to see ourselves the way God sees us. We have to, because that's where we move into that next spiritual level. If I'm always thinking about who I am, where I come up short, I'm just always going to come up short. But when I know God loves me, when I know God is here for me, when I know God doesn't want me to fail, that gives me hope. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, your goodness is just unimaginable. Your love for us has no depth. Your goodness, your mercy, your justice is for us. But it's also for those out there, Father, who haven't heard you yet, who haven't come to know you yet, who haven't walked in relationship with you yet. And Father, I just pray that you will just start implanting in our hearts the need to reach, the need to share. Stir up inside us, Father, that boldness, that confidence that we can share who you are and what you've done and what you want to do in each and every one of our lives, Lord. And I just pray for safety as we go out this week. And I just pray for opportunities, Father, to share your goodness and just to share the gospel with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.